It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Jason Chaffetz.
I'm Rachel Campos Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, November 18th, 2022, I'm Eben Brown. A wayward missile nearly caused World War III as Russia prepares to keep up its onslaught against Ukraine.
The sanctions have not achieved what we were hoping to achieve, the United States and the Biden administration, but that was never in the cards.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Russia's war on Ukraine nearly became a war engulfing the world due to what is now believed to be an errant missile landing in Poland. It had many calling for a unified NATO response that surely would have escalated things. Though now the missile strike, which did kill 2 people inside of Poland, was an accident. And all of this as Russia withdraws from part of Ukraine, leaving it nearly defenseless against the coming winter. But winter is coming for Russia, too. Can Putin keep all of this going?
Let me give you the full picture. The big strategic layout of what we call in the intelligence community, the strategic environment. The battle space that you have described right now is on the ground, and that's what most Western analysts focused on.
Rebecca Koffler is a retired analyst on Russia matters for the Defense Intelligence Agency. She's also the author of Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America.
They are counting inches of territory that the valiant Ukrainian forces have been reclaiming back from Russia. But if you look at what's going on outside of the battlefield, because Putin is waging the war that is not bound by geographic boundaries. So take a look at this picture. 40% of Ukrainian infrastructure is crippled right now, which means that Kyiv, 500,000 houses in Kyiv alone, we're not even counting other cities, are without power. That means no power, no electricity, no heat, no light, and most importantly, no water, which means that there's no sewage. You can't flush your toilet. There's going to be disease. And that is part of Putin's playbook. They developed this operation called Strategic Operation to Defeat Critical Infrastructure of the adversary, because they knew that they cannot take on an opponent that is superior conventionally to Russia, which is effectively is what's happening, because we are backing up right now Ukraine, helping them win this war. But this war is unwinnable, Eben, neither for Ukraine and militarily not from Russia. But what Putin is hoping for is to choke Ukraine by creating this hellish conditions. Ukraine is going to become unlivable, and that is a victory in Putin's playbook.
This seems almost, I guess, counterproductive to, I think, the Western mindset, you know, that you conduct a war, you get it done quickly, you try to work to avoid the civilian casualties, you try to preserve infrastructure and resources, because that's kind of what you're after. You don't necessarily just want the land. You don't want to have to rebuild it because of the extra expense of doing that. It seems from what you're saying that Putin is interested in total destruction, not just the taking over of the country, but really wiping off their accomplishments. I mean, it's an accomplishment to build a city, even a small town, to run the water, to run the electric lights. He's looking to get rid of all of this, it seems, and for to make life brutal for people. Is that your read on this?
Exactly. You nailed it. So Putin basically has changed his war aims. from maximalist goals, where he wanted originally to establish control over the entire Ukraine and push Zelensky out, you know, have him capitulate. He didn't anticipate, Putin miscalculated, that we would provide this level of support to Ukrainians, you know, pouring in billions of dollars, superior military hardware into the theater. And so he switched right now to a different strategy that's called strategy of indirect action. I have my unclassified intelligence assessment published on the Fox News website that is called What is Putin's Thinking? The status of the Russia-Ukraine war now that we are 9 months into it. And so he now has decided that if he cannot have Ukraine, we cannot have it either, meaning we, the United States and NATO, want Ukraine as part of our, you know, Western sphere. We also want it, just like Putin wants it, to be part of his strategic security perimeter. NATO countries like Poland and Romania and, you know, other Eastern Europe who have experienced the horrors of the communist regime and communist influence, they want that buffer as well. And so counterintuitively, as you just described, for the Western mind, he is not trying to, you know, be morally superior. It's, you know, the means justify the ends, or the other way around. So, and basically what is happening right now is total destruction of Ukraine, because he knows that he cannot have it, and he's not going to let us have it either.
We are speaking with retired defense intelligence analyst Rebecca Koffler. She is also the author of Putin's Playbook on the state of Russia and its war on Ukraine. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more with Rebecca straight ahead. There is a great disagreement among people who are trying to make sense of what's happening internally in Russia about whether or not Russia is hurting. We have heard from a number of Biden administration officials, I think most recently from General Milley, that Russia is hurting, that the sanctions placed on them have made drastic impacts to their economy, that they are dragging. And then just as quickly, someone will say, none of that is true. The ruble is strong. Their economy is somewhat stable. They are able to export their fuel. They are in command of their economy. What do we believe in this scenario? And does it even make a difference if their economy is not in good shape?
Well, that's exactly the crux of the matter, Evan, though. It's exactly what you just said. Economic concerns and security concerns are, as the Russians jokingly say, two big differences, right? So what that means is, regardless of the economic conditions, Putin is going to wage this war because, again, he's enforcing his version of the Monroe Doctrine. Russia and Ukraine share 1,400 miles border, and he's just not going to let an adversarial alliance be as close as 100 miles to Moscow and St. Petersburg, the heart of Russia. Neither would we. We wouldn't want the Russians to be that close to us. And so the truth is this. So basically, the sanctions have not achieved what we were hoping to achieve, the United States and the Biden administration. But that was never in the cards for the reasons that we just outlined. And Putin is an economist. He has a PhD in economics. He surrounded himself with other economically minded people, such as Elvira Nabiullina, his central banker, who's MIT trained. And so they made sure that they sanction proofed Russia's economy by de-dollarizing its sovereign wealth fund, international reserves in favor of the Chinese yuan, the euro, and gold. And so, yes, there is some impact on the Russian economy. I mean, the Russians cannot provide some of the, you know, products and services that they were used to. A bunch of stores, as you know, like luxury stores, but only basic, you know, businesses such as Starbucks, you know, financial services have all fled, right? The Russian people are unhappy, especially the rich one. They are now used to creature comforts just like we are. And that's why they are fleeing to Dubai and to other places. Russian military age men are also fleeing because they don't want to be conscripted. But the truth is, the small person, who doesn't have money, they have been mobilized. Putin has mobilized 318,000 troops. No matter, you know, it doesn't matter that they're not fully trained. What he's after is just basically keep this conflict going, low intensity, low grade. Winter is coming. Ukrainians, you know, today the temperature in Kyiv is dropping, you know, to 24 and below zero. So he's trying to freeze cold. These people. Yes, it can be very cruel to the Western mindset, but, you know, that's how Russia conducts war to achieve its goal.
Let's talk about that missile that fell in Poland earlier this week. This caused quite the upset, understandably. The idea that maybe it was a Russian missile that was intentionally striking Poland, you had people wondering, does this mean we're at World War III? Poland, of course, being a NATO member. Was it an accident? Who's going to claim responsibility? Then we hear that it may have been a Ukrainian accident. These are the things that could lead to something even far worse. And how close do you think we got to things getting a little worse or a lot worse this week?
We got very close. This is the classic fog of war, when you don't have the clear picture of the battlefield and what's around the battlefield. This is how wars start. I must admit, my preliminary analysis was also that it was the Russians who did it. I did believe that they did it unintentionally, because Putin is manipulative and cunning, but he's not suicidal. He doesn't want to start a World War III. But it turns out, based on forensic analysis, that even though the missile was Russian made, it was part of Ukrainian air defense system. And they use the same missiles, S-300s. And it was fired for Ukraine, by Ukraine, rather, even though it was a Russian missile. And it was unintentional. What we should do right now is take it as a wake-up call, because we got very, very close to unintentional escalation. Because if the determination were, let's say, that Russia did it, that is a cause for Article 5, collective defense. And then all of a sudden, we are in a war with Russia, which wargaming has shown us. It has nowhere to go but to cyber Armageddon, space warfare, and then eventually to nuclear Armageddon. Just by the way that the Russian doctrine works and the balance of forces between Russia on one side and NATO on the other side. And we got pretty close, because there was supposed to be Article 4 invoked. That's what Ukraine wanted, which means coordination and consultation. But then, fortunately, the Polish president himself was quite, you know, clear-minded about that. And he said, no, we're not going to invoke Article 4 at this time until a full investigation is complete. So, yes, Eben, we got pretty close, and we should think about de-escalating rather at this point, because this is not the first time it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen again. And God forbid that next time it's going to come from the Russian side, even if unintentional. You know, at this point, cooler heads must prevail. We cannot let Ukraine be demolished and Ukrainian people be annihilated.
Well, there was certainly a lot of cold sweating done this week, I think, all around the world because of that. Rebecca Koffler, you're the author of Putin's Playbook, Russia's Secret Plan to Defeat America, and a retired Defense Intelligence Agency analyst. Thank you once again for your expertise on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you for having me, Eben. It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.